8 minutes past 12 o'clock. I hope you've been having a very good day. Now, we start with our top story. The city of Cape Town has 48 hours, as of yesterday, to rebuild the home of Genola Phillips in Hangbeg, which its anti-land invasion unit demolished twice last month. This is according to the Western Cape High Court, who ruled yesterday. Public housing campaigners say that the city of Cape Town have been acting unlawfully, evicting people and demolishing structures during this lockdown period. And as we know, that evictions are declared illegal during the lockdown. In response, the city of Cape Town has said that illegal land invasions are preventing housing and infrastructure development for thousands of people in areas like Khayelitsha, where we've seen anti-land invasion operations throughout the lockdown period. Now, in a separate matter, the city of Cape Town has also filed papers in the Western Cape High Court opposing the Human Rights Commission's application to interdict the metro from carrying out any or all land invasion operations through the duration of this lockdown. Adi Kumar is the executive director of the Development Action Group. It's a non-profit organization advocating for affordable housing opportunities. Adi joins me now. The coronavirus and the subsequent lockdown has highlighted many of the developmental problems we face in South Africa. And in this case, Adi, housing would be, adequate housing would be top of the list.
Thanks, Lester, for having me. Yes, absolutely. I think from both national, provincial and local government, everybody's kind of not just government, but even civil society organizations have admitted that our biggest failure has been the failure to deliver adequate, affordable housing at scale. Mm-hmm. And the city of Cape Town is just one of those areas. I mean, Hangbeg that you mentioned a little bit earlier, I mean, the upgrading of Hangbeg and the formalization of Hangbeg has been in the pipeline for over a decade now. And nothing has moved there. Mm.
The issue of Hangbeg in particular is very interesting. You have an area of people who've been living there for decades, if not for a century. Many people, over the last few years, there have been consternation about people building above what they call the sluit, which is the sort of the barrier between the actual Sentinel Mountain and where the settlement is. The problem with Hangbeg is that there's very little else, where else to build. And it's part of a broader problem with the city of Cape Town, where we could actually be running out of actual space for people building homes, especially for unemployed people who can't necessarily move out of their family homes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hangbeg is a classic example, because Hangbeg was one of the first projects that was identified for upgrading of informal settlements. And we've seen in Hangbeg in many instances where people are capable of building their own top structures. So it's clearly not an issue of like the ability of people to build their own homes. Mm. The issue is of making the land available and having a proper public participation and communication strategy in place, so that you can talk to the people, engage with them on how they build, what they build, and how they take control of the land, whether it's collective ownership or individual ownership. Mm. But that's the root of the problem, is the ownership of the land, the release of the land, and allowing people to build themselves.
And yet, of course, it's not a simple issue at all, because there's consternation between land invasion, as the city of Cape Town calls it, and also the right to access to land, especially when the city says, look, we have to move people out of a certain area who've come in there and have been living there for a short while, because we've already earmarked this land for existing housing projects or infrastructure development. Whose rights do you then, or do you then uphold? The people who are there immediately, or for the future recipients of housing projects in the next 2, 3, 4 years' time?
Sure. I think that's an excellent point, Lester. So there's two aspects to that point that need to be considered. The first is, how long does it take to develop a particular piece of open land? And this is in affidavits, in court cases and so on, that it can take up to 15 years to upgrade a piece of land that's open and vacant. Now, in those 15 years, circumstances change dramatically, not just in our own middle-class lifestyles, but also in communities living in informal settlements and backyards. And those changing circumstances have a direct influence on what needs to get developed. So as the city urbanizes, which nobody can prevent and stop, as the number of people grow in the city, there's bound to be land invasions unless the city or the public sector is in a position to provide managed land settlements, which is like available areas for rental housing, available areas for different forms of tenure available for people that are coming here to work or for economic opportunities. So it has to be a kind of consolidated approach that looks both at provision of housing proactively, even if there is factoring in the people that are going to come into the city, and then providing upgrading of informal settlements like Hangberg that have existed historically for decades and so on.
Adi Kumar there, he is the Executive Director of the Development Action Group. Thanks so much for joining us.